This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. To paraphrase the Apostle Paul, may grace, mercy, and peace be upon the Church of God which is at Tooele, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all those who in every time and place call on the name of Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. So today is All Saints Sunday. Now, if you're like me and didn't grow up in the church, you probably have no idea. You never heard of All Saints Day, except maybe you knew it was the day after Halloween. But in the history of the church, it's really important. Celebration of All Saints Day goes back to the 600s. And to this day, it's one of only 7 solemn days of obligation that folks are required, at least in the Catholic Church, they're required to go to church, even if that day doesn't fall on a Sunday. From the very beginning, the church has recognized there's a mystical connection between all believers who make up the body of Christ. And this connection spans all time and all places. So somehow, we as believers here in Tooele are united with those believers in Corinth to whom Paul wrote the greeting that I opened with. And you know, we witness that belief every week when we say the Apostles' Creed. When we say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting." The Creed links all these things for a reason. They're all connected. And they really reinforce those bedrock beliefs that we have as followers of Jesus. But let's make sure that we're sort of all on the same page here. In the Creed, when we say, "I believe in the Holy Catholic Church," you notice in your bulletin, it always is with a small C, Catholic. So it doesn't refer to the Roman Catholic Church. And even if you look up the word Catholic on dictionary.com, you'll see that it means broad, far-reaching, universal in extent, pertaining to the whole body of Christ or church. So as Lutherans, it's perfectly okay for us to say, "I believe in the Holy Catholic Church," because we're talking about the universal church. Okay? But if you want to say the Holy Christian Church, you know, that's up to you. That's okay. But this idea of the universal church is really apparent in the very next line of the Creed when it talks about the communion of saints. And here again, you'll notice that it's saints with a lowercase s, small s saints. And we know the church in the past has elevated some, you know, what they would consider super believers to the status of capital S saints. We have saints like St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Teresa. We know all about those. But in the Bible, the word saint is used to describe everyday believers. But even so, the word saint carries with it this idea of holiness. Because believers are called out from the rest of the world, set apart by God. Set apart by God for God, so that we can be holy just as God is holy. All holy means is set apart. So when we talk about saints, we're not just talking about some kind of superstar of faith that's worthy of special recognition. And that idea of communion of saints reminds us of the connection that we have between believers of every time and place. And I'd say this, that once you've truly felt that connection, you're not likely to forget it. In fact, feeling that connection with all believers opens you up to having that feeling over and over again. And I guess the first time that Bonnie and I really experienced that feeling of being part of the communion of saints and really experienced it with power was at Salisbury Cathedral in England. What an incredible place that is. It was built in the 1200s. And it's huge, inside and out. It has a steeple that stands over 400 feet high. And when you're on the inside of the cathedral, when you look up, the ceilings, the vaulted ceilings, just soar above you. And as we made that long walk down the center aisle towards the altar, we couldn't help but feel the presence of all the Christians that have made that walk before us. As Christians, we follow literally in their footsteps. And we have a spiritual connection to billions of believers, including all the believers that have gone before us. Another place where we felt that connection, maybe even more so, was in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Talk about history. My goodness. There's been a Christian church on that site since the 400s. The St. Peter is buried in a crypt beneath the altar. But here again, this spiritual presence of small s saints is very present in St. Peter's. And we felt it especially in prayer. To be a prayer, or I guess I should say to be in prayer at St. Peter's, is to be somehow connected to all the prayers that have been lifted up there in the last 1,600 years. It's the biggest church in the world. But even so, it seems like it is just filled with the prayers of the people. It feels like the whole place is steeped in prayer. The prayers of saints going back 1,600 years. When you're praying in that place, you know that you're part of something significant. And it helped us understand that we all belong to the body of Christ. But I'm not suggesting that you have to go to Salisbury or Rome to get hold of this sensation of being part of the communion of saints. This little church has been here in Tooele since 1928. And if you think about if just 50 people a week had been here and in prayer since 1928, it means that over 200,000 worshipers have been here. So it's no exaggeration to talk about millions of prayers that have been lifted up right here. So during our prayers of intercession today, I would just invite you to visualize your prayers being added to the literally millions of prayers that everyday saints have lifted up before us. And folks, this isn't just a metaphor. We're not talking about just a figure of speech here. The scriptures are full of references as to how God's people in heaven and God's people in earth are connected. Revelation talks about the prayers of the saints being gathered together and placed on the altar before the throne. Luke chapter 15 talks about how the people in heaven rejoice whenever a single sinner repents. So the church continues to observe this day, All Saints' Day, to help us remember that we really are part of a grand communion of saints that goes all the way back and stretches all the way to eternity. So finally, I guess it would be wrong to talk about saints without recognizing the special presence of saints in the book of Revelation. Did you notice our first lesson today didn't come from the Old Testament the way it normally does? It comes from the book of Revelation. And although it's not specifically mentioned in our lesson today, the word saint appears more times in the book of Revelation than it does in any other book in the Bible. So even though the word wasn't used in our lesson very clearly was describing saints. They're the ones wearing white robes, the ones who came out of the great ordeal. Some translations say the great tribulation. Now, if there were a job description for saint in the Bible, it would be very simply someone who overcomes. And by overcoming, that just means hanging on to your faith. Someone who hangs on to their faith in the presence of great pressure, even great tribulation kind of pressure. Remaining faithful, enduring to the end, hanging on to faith, that's what it means to overcome. That's what it means to be a saint. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus makes specific promises to those who overcome. He says, "Whoever overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. Whoever overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Whoever overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. Whoever does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. They will be dressed in white. I will never blot out their names from the book of life. I will acknowledge their names before my Father and his angels. I will make them pillars in the temple of my God. I will give them the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." And the final word of what it means to be a saint, not surprisingly, comes from the very end of the book of Revelation. And sometimes it's just better to read God's word than it is to try to explain it. And so this is from Revelation, the 21st chapter, right at the end of the book. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And then this, those who overcome will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Brothers and sisters in Christ, by the mercy and grace of God, we are numbered among the communion of saints. This is, and it ought to be, a source of great joy and comfort for us. You know, if believers were just connected to one another in the here and now, that would be a wonderful blessing. It would be enough. But thanks be to God, we know we are connected, not just in the here and now, but to every believer, back through time and on into eternity. On All Saints Day, we remember fondly those people who came before us and who led us to the faith and helped us grow. We give thanks for friends and parents and grandparents who introduced us to the faith. Even if they've departed this life, we trust that one day we will be robed in white and we'll join them in the very throne room of the Lamb. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and make us your own. Amen.